You have to be careful when you put your guitar down. It's like a baby, you know? I always tell Harry, what do I hate say, Harry? Don't leave baby in the car. Yeah. Don't leave baby in the car. Yeah. You don't drop baby either, so you put it in the cradle. You know, it's like a baby. A little bit. Okay. Maybe that's just me. Never begin a sentence with I had a boss that told me that. Never begin a sentence with John Stibrick. John, if you're listening, one of you. So the title of this sermon, this talk, this, like Renee says, this talk, we're talking, right? Can I see your ID? I think I need a prayer before this. So let's pray. Father, help me to focus on what you want said today, Lord. Help us to hear what you have each of us, what you have prepared for each of us, and to open our minds and our hearts to receive it. So we just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, has anyone ever been pulled over by the police? Don't raise your hand. It's okay. Probably. If you haven't yet, you probably will be. I know you people. Yeah. But have you ever heard the words, you know, can I see your ID, please? But not always that. Maybe more pleasantly at the bank, right? The bank, when making a transaction, the person asks you the question, wants to be sure that you are who you say you are. That's a good thing, right? We don't, I don't know about you, but I don't want people, you know, strangers taking advantage of my bank account and taking money out if they don't, you know, they shouldn't be taking money out of my account. Usually we remember to bring our wallets and we have various types of identification with us. So what's the first thing that people ask for? Driver's license, yeah, and it's got like all your pertinent information there, your date of birth. Doesn't have your social security number anymore, does it?
Last 4 digits, maybe.
I don't remember. Ooh, test of memory. We'll check that later. But okay, so what else? What else is your ID? What else? Other identifications do you have on your?
Insurance for
Yeah, car insurance. Yeah, proof of liability, right? Medical insurance. Yeah. What's that? Your AARP card, yeah. I know they sent me one of those when I turned 50. I was like, get this out of here. We don't want this. You know, my golden Buckeye card. I'm only 50 years old. Now I was like, what do I do with that? I could get a discount. But what if you were traveling outside of this country and some calamity befell you? What if you lost all your documentation, your passport, everything you had? How would you prove you were who you said you were? Yeah. Witnesses? Yeah. What if there's nobody there? You're by yourself. What are you going to do? So here's a, so maybe you could call somebody that could vouch for you, right? If you didn't have your phone, if you didn't have anything, you know, you had nothing. So maybe you could call somebody and they could say, yeah, that's Dan. It's like, yeah, we know him, I guess. Well, that's a good question. It depends on who you're asking, right? Or who's corroborating your story. So our primary text today is 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 7. Can you bring that up? I'm sorry. Thank you. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Emphasis are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in them purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin either has either seen him or known him. Verse 7, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. So John reminds us of who we are so that we can live being... Sorry, let me say that again because I messed it up. I knew I'd messed this up. John reminds us of whose we are so we can live being who we are. Whose and who. John reminds us of whose, who we belong to, so that we can live being who we are. So who do you belong to? Yeah. Well, that's what the scripture said, right? I always like to go back to the Garden of Eden because it lays the foundation of and sets the stage for like everything that follows, doesn't it? The question... this is a side note. Like, does anyone know how you'd be able to prove that you found the earthly remains of Adam and Eve? I think, well, that's interesting. Yeah, everybody might be related to him. Yeah, it's like your source DNA. No, that like if they found bodies that didn't have belly buttons. That's them. They didn't. Maybe God gave them belly buttons anyway, but they didn't need them, right? Because they weren't born; they were created. Just saying. So, that's not the main point. That's just a side thing. Okay, forget that. But in the sense that God created Adam and Eve, he was their father, and they were his children, the children of the Creator, children of God. With me so far? Of course, we all know the story about how the devil comes along telling lies about God, deceiving them, making Adam and Eve and all their descendants captives of sin until Jesus comes in the flesh and ransoms his life for all of ours. It's like the gospel in like a nutshell, right? Yeah, so I always think it goes back to the garden. So I wrote a song about it, which I won't play for you right now. You might like it, though. I can play later. It's a good song. I think it's a good song. Anyway, when Adam and Eve sinned, God didn't wash his hands of them, all right? And he didn't kill them, even though when he said, the day that you eat of the fruit, you'll die. But he didn't kill them, like the moment they ate the fruit. But what happened? They took death upon themselves by their disobedience, right? And ever since then, all their children have died, except for Enosh, God took him. Enoch, thank you. How do people read your Bibles? But what did he do? God made the first sacrifice recorded. He killed some animals and gave Adam and Eve their skins to wear in place of those drafty fig leaves. It's like, I don't know, fig leaves don't seem real warm. And they were about to be kicked out of the garden, so they're going to need to be keeping warm. But God himself made the first and the last sacrifice. Did you ever think of that? Does it remind you of a scripture? Maybe Revelation 22, verse 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So, where was I? My memory isn't what it used to be. Or is it? You know, I can't say for sure that I recall because, like, you know, you look back, it's like, was my memory better before, or is it? I choose to believe that the older we get, the less file space we have available. You know, it's like you only have like certain, like, you ever have a drawer at home, you can only put so much stuff in it. And if you put something else in, something else has to come out.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Rosa gave me that idea. It's the file system, it's valid. But I can remember like plots from like Gilligan's Island and Star Trek from 50 years ago. Just don't ask me where I left my car keys and my phone. That's why I keep my keys on my chain when I'm walking around. I always keep, because if they're not here, I don't know where they are. I don't know. Anyway, whether you keep notes on your phone like I do, or you keep a gazillion post-it notes like I used to, like I love my little notes app. So God's children receive all their Father has to give them. They do not have to earn it. The Father's name has already been placed on them. The lie we may be tempted to believe is that the Father really wants slaves and not sons and daughters. This is a false teaching, tempting us to ground our worth and value in that which we can do or produce for the Master, rather than who we are as children of God. Does God need anything from us? Does he need us to anything from us? I mean, he's self-sufficient, right? He doesn't need anything from us. We can likewise be tempted to believe that God just wants our obedience and stopping there. You know, obviously God does want our obedience. He teaches us obedience, but the question is what motivates us to be obedient. Is it fear of punishment or hope of favor or reward? You know, are we trying to get on his good side? Or rather, do we seek to please him because of what he's already done for us, because of who God is in relationship with us? I mean, doesn't it just make sense that God wants us to love him back? If God only wanted blind obedience, he would have stopped on the sixth day when he made dogs.
Yeah.
Okay? Dogs can be obedient. Yeah. I personally think that he made cats first, and he realized there's some room for improvement here. Yeah, I have a cat. Anybody else who's ever had a cat knows they're not known for their obedience. They listen when it's time to get fed, but otherwise, not so much. I think it's like faith versus works, though. We don't do works to earn God's favor, but we want to do what pleases him because we love him. So I was working this out in my mind, kind of like juggling these things, and I was thinking about the question, if we were put on trial for being Christians, would there be enough evidence to convict us? But then, is that talking about works? So you have to be careful where you draw the line there. But Scripture says you will know a tree by its fruit. So you can't, you know, an apple tree can't help but bear apples, right? Because that's what apple trees do. So what are the fruits of the Spirit? Paul lists nine of them in Galatians 5:22. Anybody know them off the top of your head? You can do better.
Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control.
Patience. Yeah, patience. Self-control, gentleness, yeah. Thanks, Bob. I'll just go over those. I'll repeat those. Love, joy, peace, patience, or long-suffering. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Memorize those.
No.
It was me looking at Hannah. So contrasting, though, evidence versus works and earnings, we don't produce fruit to earn our identity, right? You don't need to, an apple tree doesn't need to produce fruit for you to know it's an apple tree, or does it? Maybe it does. You can still recognize an apple tree. I'm getting lost in my own thoughts here, sorry. But it's because of who we are. The fruits of the Spirit we mentioned are at best circumstantial evidence. Does it prove anything? What proof are we left with? If we could only call upon somebody who would corroborate our story and tell us who we are, oh, just as it so happens, God's already done that. So can we show that verse again on the screen, please? Let's read that first part together. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We can stop there. Well, actually, the next verse would be great. Sorry. And all who have this hope in them purify themselves just as he is pure. Stop too early. Sorry. Thank you. So in summation, we do not achieve our identity. Rather, we receive it from the one we belong to, our Heavenly Father, who loves us and cannot lie. So receive it, believe it, and as that last verse says, we put it into practice and we live it. Amen.